May only his words be spoken, only his words heard. Amen. The money trap from the gospel lesson, Mark chapter 10. So what's on the minds of all the people of America today? What do you think? Well, at least two-thirds of them are thinking about one thing. And that is, are they going to win the lotto? It has reached over $1 billion, the payout. Hard to believe. I heard that on a news report that two-thirds of Americans will buy tickets for this lottery, and that the average American will spend $200 a year on lottery tickets. I'm sure some of you have bought a lottery ticket, right? I'm sure. It has gripped the nation. So what has a grip on your life? Now, many of you may not understand this question. I think it's a very important one. What has a grip on your life? You're apt to answer, well, nothing has a grip on my life. But I think you'd be mistaken. To point out an obvious example, think of a heroin addict. What has a grip on their life, whether physiologically or psychologically? What has a grip on their life? The opioid, the heroin, it has a grip on their life. It directs their lives. What had a grip on the rich young man, ruler, who came to Jesus saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" What had a grip on him? Jesus said, "Go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? Isn't it because material affluence is itself a powerful narcotic? It had a grip on him. Money rules a lot of people's lives. It decides where they're going to live, who their friends are, who they're going to marry, and it makes a whole host of other decisions. Money does that. And yes, for too many, money has a way of distancing us from God. But Jesus might have a grip on your life. And I hope he does. Then everything else is secondary. And money can't call the shots in your life because Jesus is doing that. He's your Lord. And Jesus says, this is the ultimate freedom. The ultimate freedom. There is a money trap. And it's set for all people. And it's set, developed by the enemy, Satan, the devil. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Jesus said, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Even the most religious are ensnared by this trap. The most dedicated. In Jesus' day, the most religious people, they had a lot of things wrong, but they were the most religious people, were the Pharisees. And they sneered at Jesus when he said these things. They loved money. They couldn't see the trap. With all their knowledge, with all their ability to interpret scriptures, they didn't see the trap. Let me ask you, why do financial scams work? Many of us have fallen for one of them, even as I have, to my great embarrassment. A fellow pastor gave me this deal, and by world standard, I didn't lose that much, but it was a Ponzi scheme. I'm very embarrassed about it. I knew better than to do this, but it seemed like such a reasonable thing to do, brought by another pastor. But the invisible web, like a spider's web, was there to entrap me and trap others. And maybe you've had one of these incidences. Usually we're very embarrassed to speak of it. Cartoon I came across on the internet recently. It showed a room full of money. Imagine this now. Room full of money. And the caption read like this: a Nigerian man dies and authorities find $27 billion in his apartment. He has been trying to give it away for 15 years, but nobody has returned his emails. I mean, that's really funny, but it's also illustrative of how foolish money can make us be and appear. You know, it's hard to have lots of money and not have our values askew. Most business people would know the name of Jack Welch. Now, if you don't know that name, he's a couple decades ago. Everybody would have known his name, Jack Welch. Welch was the celebrated chairman of General Electric, one of the biggest companies. Not anymore, but it was then. And Welch went through a very acrimonious divorce. And because of this, all the perks of his retirement were revealed. And oh my goodness, it was an assortment of luxurious lifestyle perks. I mean, they were incredible what they gave him to retire. A golden parachute, oh yeah, platinum, right? But years before this, he had a brush with death. And so he was asked about this experience, coming face to face with his mortality. Had he an epiphany after his serious heart surgery? Here's the way he answered: I learned I didn't spend enough money. The reporter pressed him on this. What do you mean you didn't spend enough money? And this is what he said. He said, I vowed never again to drink any wine that was from a bottle that cost less than $100. What a sad answer. The trap was camouflage. Spending more was his answer to the brush with death. And that is a sad answer. His true treasure was his money, because that's where his heart is. The danger here is we just don't realize there's a trap at all. The acquisition of wealth becoming a priority in our lives is exceedingly dangerous. So let's take a closer look at what Jesus said, his forceful and surely perplexing words to some of us, if not most of us. Jesus begins, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Whew. How hard it is for the rich. Who are the rich today? You are. By the world's standards, you're rich. In the Bible, he's talking to you. How hard it is for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, don't you wish Jesus would explain this? Don't you wish he would soften these words, not make them so categorical? But you know, Jesus knew our hearts, and he knows what a great temptation that worldly possessions and money are to us. He knows that we can fall in love with the world and never want to leave it behind. When Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, some have guessed or surmised that there must have been a gate or a door into Jerusalem called the needle's eye that was so narrow that if you had a camel, you had to unload it or it wouldn't get through. So a rich man cannot enter into heaven unless he is willing to part with his worldly goods. As Pastor Travis said correctly last week in his message, the danger is not in having wealth or being rich, but trusting in that wealth, trusting in money. There are wealthy people who trust in Jesus above all, and they're heaven bound, and they have their values rightly ordered. They're followers of Jesus. And there are poor people who are greedy. who put their trust in money, even though they have but little, whose values are askew, who are not followers of Jesus, who are not heaven-bound. Examples of wealthy people in the Bible, there are many. In the Old Testament, I think of Abraham. He was exceedingly wealthy. Of course, even outdoing him was Solomon. And in the New Testament, Barnabas was a wealthy man. And there's also examples of poor people in the Bible who were not followers of Jesus. And what really comes to mind is Judas. Judas wasn't a wealthy man, and he sold out Jesus for a pittance because he loved money. But the most astounding part of our scripture this morning is how the disciples reacted to his pronouncements. It says they were amazed or astounded. Probably the better word would be shocked. They were shocked and said to each other, "Then who then can be saved?" You have to understand that Jesus' statements run counter to everything these disciples had been taught from the Old Testament scriptures. They had been taught the faith of their fathers, that wealth and material goods, if you had them, was an indication that you had God's favor, that you had God's blessing. Jesus demolished this myth, and it is a myth, even though it's spread today. God's favor could and did rest with the poor and rich alike. Being rich did not mean you were blessed of God, and being poor did not mean you were cursed of God. Who then can be saved? With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. If we're saved, redeemed, if we're reconciled, if we're set right with the Father, it's entirely because of Jesus' death on the cross, because he took away the one thing that was separating us from the Father, and that would be our sins. I've known wealthy people who are true followers of Jesus. They didn't save themselves from the money trap. Jesus did. I know poor people. I've known poor people who are true followers of Jesus. And they didn't save themselves from the money trap. Jesus did. You know, it occurs to me that that rich young man who walked away from Jesus, the Savior, could only see what he was giving up and couldn't see what he would gain, not recognizing that we need saving, and that's all of us, is the saddest thing in the whole world. Jesus is the Lord of the second chance. Perhaps this young man would yet come back to Jesus, just like some Pharisees and priests did. They came to Jesus even though they had been against him, and came to believe in him. That this young man would receive the good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation being made right with the Father, is a free gift of God's grace to us. So what practical applications can we glean from the scriptures today? Two things, and they're very brief. Number one, don't hold on to money too tightly. Money is a great servant, but a terrible master. Be generous because God has been generous with you. Be aware of the trap and don't let money be a top priority in your lives. And don't let it make decisions for you. Don't let it happen. You make your decisions on the basis of what you believe God's will is, not on the basis of what's going to cost you or what you'll gain, money. And number two, thank God every day for the treasure he has given you. And what is the true treasure he has given you? Faith. Faith to believe in him. Faith to know that he's your Savior. faith to know that your sins are forgiven. The forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. That's the treasure. Our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions or our money. Rather, we should give thanks because God has made us rich toward Himself. In the name of Jesus and to His glory. Amen.